From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Today, we introduce a new feature on the program. The first Monday of every month, we'll be joined by Bruce Gordon, head of the NAACP, and National Urban League President Marc Morial. We'll talk about the issues in the news and the latest goings-on in their organizations. Normally, they'd be on together, but today we had to split them up. Marc Morial joined me earlier from Newark Airport. He's en route to Atlanta to attend the funeral of civil rights leader Coretta Scott King. I asked the Urban League head what the loss of Mrs. King means to the movement.
Well, Mrs. King, Coretta Scott King, was an activist and a human rights warrior in her own right. But she's also been, for us and for our generation, our connection to her husband and her husband's legacy, the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I think her passing sort of is another demonstration of the passing of the torch or the passing of an era. Her death with Rosa Parks' death and Constance Baker Motley's death and Shirley Chisholm's death all within the last 12 or so months is yet another indication that many great heroes and heroines who helped to change America, who were part of the second American Revolution, are now passing on.
Lest we forget C. Dolores Tucker as well.
C. Dolores Tucker, of course.
Absolutely. Marc, let me ask you, there are a number of people who are suggesting that with the passing of these icons that we may no longer have the foundation needed to keep the civil rights movement alive as we know it. I know there are those of you on the front line who are doing all you can to do so. What do you tell those who have that concern?
First of all, the civil rights era, the era of the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, were a very special time in American history and in the history of African Americans because it was such a transformation between the way things were before with legal segregation and de facto discrimination to way things have evolved. Nonetheless, as is always the case, each generation has its new set of challenges. For our generation, it may be that our leaders are going to be less visible and less well-known, less iconoclastic, if you will. But nonetheless, the battles we face, which are now very much economic, very much about wealth and money and jobs. So I think the issue is always not what will our leaders do, but what will we do for our community. And I would also say that as America evolves into this 21st century, it's important to recognize that the civil rights generation and leadership created a new sense of equality in America, which has also affected the battle for equality by Hispanic Americans, by women, by other groups who have, in effect, embraced the ideals and the notions created by Dr. King and his cohorts in the 1960s and Coretta Scott King and the work that they've done.
Marc, one of the things that we'll be able to do with this segment is talk to you and Bruce Gordon about issues and topics that the Urban League and the NAACP want people to know about and what you're working on. Give us a sense of what you're working on and what people need to look for on the horizon in terms of important issues.
Right now, the National Urban League is preparing for the release of its State of Black America report, which will come out in late March and early April. And this year's report is going to focus on economic issues. It's going to focus on Katrina and the larger impact and the larger effect of Katrina to once again wake us up in this nation to a discussion about poverty and economic disparities. We're also, as is the case with civil rights organizations, planning for what I think is going to be an exciting annual meeting or annual conference or national convention, which will take place in Atlanta, Georgia, the final week in July, which will once again be a chance for people to work long and hard and to discuss some of the very pertinent issues that are taking place, really on the community front and on the program front where we serve people. So much of our focus is how we can be a stronger voice in an area where we've always had an impact, and that is in the area of jobs. Not only a voice, but a vehicle to help people connect to jobs in local communities. I just visited our affiliate in Champaign, Illinois, where they're doing some great work to help young people, some of whom are high school dropouts, to get GEDs and re-enter the workforce. So We are working on what I like to call the bread and butter issues, the issues of economics, the issues of money, the issues that I think are definitional of what the civil rights movement has to be about in the 21st century.
Thanks, Mark Morial, for joining us from the airport, Newark Airport, as he heads down for the homecoming of Coretta Scott King.
Appreciate it.
Now we're joined by NAACP head Bruce Gordon. Bruce, we just heard from Mark Morial talking about the importance of Mrs. King. I want you to address the idea that as we lose these icons and still look at today and the issues that we have, it's very important for the black community not to fall asleep in thinking that things are A-OK.
I think that is the key point. And one of the observations I'd make is that there are many of us in America, many black folks, who have reaped many of the benefits of the Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King movement, and maybe have been lulled to sleep to think that all is well. The fact of the matter is that the gap between haves and have-nots is getting larger. Most black folks are on the short side of that equation, and I think that now more than ever, if we choose to honor Coretta Scott King, then we've got to roll up our sleeves, face the realities, and get recommitted to the civil rights movement, which, in my terms today, is closing the gap in the quality of life between haves and have-nots.
Unless we think we've made advances, and we certainly have, there are those bell ringers that always bring us back. Most recently, the NAACP had a fight and just gave a settlement down in South Carolina. Give us the information on that, Bruce, if you would.
Well, and Ed, that's the beginning of the process. As you well know, I believe, every summer, two different groups find their way down to South Carolina. They're all motorcycle riders, but one group is white and one group is black. And what we found is that when the black bike riders arrived in Myrtle Beach, many of the establishments normally open to the white riders closed up when the black folks got to town. So we got involved in a lawsuit representing them, filing suits both against the municipality itself, but also what you will continue to hear over time is that we've actually identified each of those establishments that, for one reason or another, closed. For instance, closed to do inventory that weekend. We have identified them. We are in negotiations with them. And in aggregate, I expect a meaningful settlement as well as a recognition that we still need to be treated the same way that white folks are.
And in terms of staying vigilant, everyone talking about the Super Bowl, but it does take us back to an issue that we covered extensively last week, the idea that so much had been made of making sure that in the higher ranks, African-Americans were given opportunity. We saw a third of the coaching ranks open, no minority hires, no new hires, a lateral shift with Herman Edwards. There's another issue that is raising the ire of many this week as they revel in the Super Bowl pomp and circumstance.
Well, what's disappointing about that to me is if you look at the performance of black coaches this year, they were exceptional. They brought teams back in Cincinnati, in Indianapolis. We've got coaches, for instance, who have had superb records. This is not a matter of a numbers game. This is not a matter of giving black coaches a chance. This is a matter of the fact that black coaches have earned the right to lead teams and lead teams to victory and generate profits for those franchises. So it's just not clear to me why team owners don't want to take advantage of the coaching talent that these black coaches can bring to the table.
Bruce, what's on the horizon? What's the organization working on, and what should we be looking to that perhaps has not made the radar, not in headlines yet?
Well, I'm actually in Gulfport, Mississippi today. We've formed an alliance that we're going to announce today with Habitat for the Humanity. This is an organization that builds 15,000 homes a year and creates, therefore, 15,000 new homeowners. We are going to work with them to make sure that those opportunities find their way to people in our community. And given the effects of Katrina in the Gulfport area, we are about to break ground on some new homes in a historic community, Forest Heights, that was built over 30 years ago by Dorothy Height and the National Council of Negro Women, giving poor folks a chance to own a home. And those homes were destroyed. We're in the process of rebuilding them. So that's the post-Katrina project continues to move forward. But in addition to that, as you well heard in the State of the Union, The president spoke to Katrina, but it didn't enjoy the center stage position that things like the domestic surveillance program did. So we need to be vigilant and continue to focus on programs that are going to restore some order and some economic stability in the Gulf region, and you can expect the NACP to be front and center.
Bruce Gordon, we're excited about having you and Mark Morial once a month on the program to give us not only insight, but issues that your organizations are working on. Look forward to this being the start of something good, and we appreciate your time.
Ed, thank you.
Again, we're pleased to announce that Urban League President Mark Morial and NAACP head Bruce Gordon will join us the first Monday of every month.